When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm a lineman, right? In the offseason. Do you think I'm the guy that's getting invited to go sit at the Lakers game? Heck no, I'm not getting invited to the Lakers game, right? If I want to go to a Lakers game, I'm buying my daggum tickets, right?
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome to the Jim Rome Podcast, and welcome to episode number 311, where I am pumped to welcome a Super Bowl champion to the original Side Hustle, but as great as my guest was on the field, he's also now developing into one of the brightest stars and best communicators in sports media. My guest this week is former All-Pro offensive lineman, Big Wit, Andrew Whitworth. Listen, I know you're all pretty familiar with Big Wit. He won that Natty at LSU. He won a Lombardi with the Rams. He was the 2021 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner. And now he's absolutely crushing it for Prime Video's Thursday Night Football coverage. For my money, he is one of the most interesting people to talk to in all of sports. And you're about to hear why, so let's get right at it. It's episode number 311 of the Jim Rome Podcast. And it's with Big Wit, Andrew Whitworth. And it's coming at you right now. Andrew, it's always incredible to spend time with you. I really appreciate you stretching out for us today. And normally I would say, how are things going? How's your life? But I'm not going to start you with that. I'm going to ask you, did you get your workout in yet?
I just got my work in, baby. You know that. I always got my work in. Sauna, a little legs today. Just destroyed the legs. I'm good to go, baby.
I'll tell you what. I'm always so fascinated by that. There's some guys that as soon as their career is over, man, they maintain that lifestyle. Like, it's really, really important. There are other guys that say, I denied myself so long. I'm going to do what I want to do right now. What is your approach to it? Why is it so important for you to get that work in still?
I think it's just ingrained in who I am. And so from a young kid, working out and training is what made me confident in who I am and really gave me confidence in not only myself, but my body and feeling good and feeling like an athlete. And so I think, you know, sometimes you get too far away from who you are and you start to struggle a little bit mentally. And I think for me, and just from a mental standpoint, I'm always at my best, feeling confident, smile on my face and be able to be a better version of myself to people around me. When I take care of myself first, and for me, that's in training and getting a sweat, getting, you know, to feel like I'm still working hard, even though I'm not working to play on a football field, I'm still working to, you know, be a good father to my kids and a good husband and a good friend and son and brother and all those things. And so to me, putting in that work just is a great reminder of the sacrifice it takes to be at your best. And it puts me at my best, which I think helps me help other people get to their best.
My brother, I appreciate that response so much. You have no idea. That is such a great, great response. It's a lifestyle. It's an identity move. You want to be at your very best. You want to feel your best. You want to feel like you're doing the work. That is beautiful. Listen, before we get into what's happening around the league and touch on the draft, because we can stretch out here a little bit more, why don't you take me back? You grew up in Monroe, Louisiana. I'm curious, what was it like to grow up there? And then how early did you become interested in football in a region where the sport means so much to so many?
Yeah, I think, you know, going all the way back to those times, I really grew up as a kid who my dad played a lot of intramural tennis. And so I grew up playing tennis until I was probably 11, 12 years old. That was a big, you know, summer kind of spring sport for me. I played baseball. My grandfather was a huge baseball fan. So I played baseball and basketball was always my loves. And I've always loved basketball the most. And that was really the three I played growing up. I played 1 year in elementary. I tried football. I didn't like it. And I stopped playing. And then I didn't start playing again until junior high, until I got to, you know, really seventh, eighth grade. I tried it again. I always tell this story, Jim, you'll appreciate my very first day in full pads as a football athlete. We did the old fashioned 1-on-1s. I mean, and remember, this is back in the early 90s. And you know what? I got, you know, about fourth or fifth in line, realized I was going against somebody who, you know, was supposedly supposed to be the best player on the team, but I was obviously the biggest. And we lined up against each other. They blew the whistle. And I know Sooner was looking up to the sky than that whistle finished. And I realized real quickly it wasn't going to be good, but it got even worse when I realized it was the head coach's daughter, our middle linebacker, Molly Harper. And Molly laid me out, and that began my journey to realize if I wanted to do something, I couldn't just be the biggest. I had to work hard, and I had to devote myself to it. And you know what? One thing led to another, to West Monroe High School, to winning 3 state championships, and then going to LSU. I think football is ingrained in the North Louisiana area, and there's been a lot of successful athletes, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Wow, Whit, you're right. I do love that story. I don't appreciate that story. I love that story. That's incredible. I've never actually heard that story. Before we leave that topic, I want to ask you about tennis, because I know that you play tennis. And actually, to give you your due respect, you were a junior tennis champ, if I'm not mistaken. I played tennis growing up here in SoCal, so I'm trying to picture a massive dude like you on the other side of the net. You had to have been hammering your serve. Were you a serve and volley dude, or were you conserving energy and pounding groundies from behind the baseline?
I'm only laughing, Jim, because this is my favorite story to tell. I was definitely a serve and volley kid. The problem is my tennis career only lasted until I was about 11 or 12. I was playing for like pieces of Little Caesar pizza when I stopped playing tennis, right? So like you were at tennis camp, you were playing a little tennis tournaments, you get ice cream and maybe an extra slice of a Bigfoot if you won the tournament. But I wasn't playing actual competitive tennis. But the funny part of the story is I get to LSU. I've been an All-American in high school. The LSU, you know, sports director is like, hey, we got to, you know, beef up your profile. Let's find some things that you did as a kid and talk about it. So I just kind of shared. And maybe at that time I was a young freshman in college and I overshared. I'm not sure. Never let the truth get in the way of a good story, Jim. But I just said that I won a tournament when I was a kid. And one thing leads to another. I go to the NFL draft. I'm going through the combine process. People start asking me about being a junior tennis champion. Then it became a high school tennis champion. And I'm going, wait, I have no idea where this came from. It was in my bio in my LSU sports book and in sports information book that I had won a junior tennis championship. I think it meant to say the local Monroe Athletic Club 11 and 12-year-old summer camp for a Bigfoot pizza. But you know what? Let's not let the truth get in the way. It's still a championship, Jim.
Oh, no. Of course it is, Whit. As far as I'm concerned, you won Wimbledon. You won the French Open. You won the Australian Open. I'm going to stick to that story. That is so funny, too. I get it. I see it. So you stay in state. Of course, you play college football at LSU, Whit, and you played for Nick Saban until he left, became the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. We could do an entire ep on what it was like to play for Nick Saban. I won't do that, but I am curious, what was your welcome to the Nick Saban process moment? In other words, did you ever find yourself on the wrong side of him ever? And if so, how intense was that?
Yeah, I think coming from West Monroe High School, I mean, we had won 3 state championships. We were 58-2 in my 4 years in high school. It was a really, really, exceptional high school football program from not just like we didn't really have a lot of Division I players, just the system and how we worked and our training. I mean, our head strength coach was way ahead of his time. Our training was really elite. So when I went to college, I wouldn't say that the demand and the expectations on an athlete from the physical standpoint was probably as big as others because I was used to a really well-run, you know, facility, strength staff, coaching program in football. Everything was first class. And so when I got to LSU to play for Saban, what I really learned was the consistency on a daily basis it takes to be exceptional at something, and that you can't just go in a weight room and crush yourself and have this plan. And then the rest of the time, you're kind of lackadaisical about maybe studying the tape and understanding what your job is on a play. And you're just winning off of your sure ability to out muscle somebody or be in better shape than somebody. You had to be able to think yourself around it. You had to have a dedication every day to be great at the task at hand. And my first moment with Nick Saban, I'll never forget. I showed up our second week of the season, 5 minutes late to the 6 a.m. film sessions on Monday mornings that you'd have in college. So you'd go to the game, you know, the next day you'd have conditioning on Sunday. And then Monday mornings you'd come in there 6 a.m., break down the tape, and then kind of move on to the next team. And I showed up 5 minutes late, and when I say that he just destroyed me verbally, really loud in front of the entire auditorium of guys, and you're a freshman, you're the young guy. You never forget that experience. And it wasn't like he berated you like in some way that he said all these insulting things about you. He just got on you with an intensity. Like I always say, it's like walking in the wrong house and you didn't know they had that kind of dog. And you walk in the room and you're like, oh no. And that's exactly what would happen is you walked in that room and it's like a pit bull or a bulldog and it was on and you had no chance to stop it. And so you sat down in your chair, just ate it and never let it happen again. That's the only way you could ever stop it. And I learned from that moment that I was going to take it serious, that I was never going to be put in that situation again. And I really dedicated it to me. And I always say, I go back. I mean, Nick Saban is without question, until I met Sean McVay, you know, one of the biggest influences I'd ever had on my, you know, football career was his impact on me as a person and really what it meant to devote yourself to something, to being great at it.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix, or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. All right, so another great anecdote, another great story, Whit, you're making this easy. You mentioned Sean McVay. So you signed with the Rams as a free agent in 2017, which also was Sean McVay's first season as head coach. He was just 30 when he got that job, of course, becoming the youngest head coach in modern NFL history. What do you remember about your early interaction with him? And was there any part of you that wondered if he was ready for that gig, given that he was younger than you?
Look, I mean, anytime a young guy gets a job in any industry, right? I don't care what it is. When the older guys are sitting in there and the young guy walks in that got the job faster than they ever did, I think there's a lot of people that doubt it. And that's just the facts. I mean, I think there was former Rams coaches that even kind of, you know, I think, you know, I read just somewhat were a little eerie about whether he, you know, whether he'd make it or whether he'd be successful or whether he was just going to be this, you know, hot topic and then it would go away. And, I think it's interesting that, you know, you really look at him. I thought, I always say this, one of the best things I can say about Sean McVay is that from my time and coming with him, I was with Marvin Lewis, who is a man amongst men. I mean, just an awesome human being, day in and day out, consistently just such a big heart and passion for guys and football and the game of football. And, you know, I always say he was like a, you know, like that uncle or grandfather that you just always felt like you'd go to with anything. And then I moved from Marvin Lewis, this, you know, Pittsburgh guy, tough as can be, to Sean McVay, the youngest head coach in NFL history, you know, energy, passion, positivity, you know, all these things. You walk in there and you're like, whoa, this dude is like so happy and confident and excited to approach this game every single day. I thought it was so special. I'll never forget, only a week into our time together, we had gone to dinner after I'd signed as a free agent and spent a couple days together and then spent some time in the office together. And, man, I told him, I said, man, you might be the closest thing to Nick Saban that I've ever been around. Mm. And he was so offended. I mean, I thought he was going to cuss at me. He didn't know me well enough to cuss at me yet. But he literally was like, no way, like no chance. And then over time, he started to understand what I meant by that. It's that. To me, the characteristics that you talk about, everyone has a different style and how they're going to lead and maybe how they approach things. Maybe they're really loud. Maybe they're encouraging. Maybe they're quiet. But when they speak, it means something. You know, all those different personalities, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the day in and day out consistency in who they are and how they're going to approach being great at something. And they are identical in that way, in that there's no little thing that's never gonna, that's not going to be important. Eventually, they are going to have their hands and their impact on every single inch of that building. There won't be a single thing that they don't eventually have some, not necessarily control, but some impact, some part of, some, you know, thought or emotion they're giving to people to, hey, this is how I want it done. This is how it should be done. This is how we should do it. They will eventually just spread throughout the entire building because their standard is a standard that most people just can't keep on a daily basis. And that's really what I walked away with him. My two things from him, our first OTAs, 3 weeks into our OTAs, I stopped by after practice one day to check on young head coach Sean McVay. He's in his office watching himself give speeches to the team. He is evaluating every talk he's gave the team since we started and whether or not he thinks it's bought into, whether he spoke in a good way, what he could do better. He's evaluating himself, much less our football team. I thought that was so impressive. And to me, the other thing, knowing him personally, is that here's a guy that is constantly working on every weakness he has, every strength he has, from the full spectrum. He never believes in being a finished product. And I think that, to me, being as young as he was and being wired that way, it's really no shock, man. The human being and the intelligence that he has, why he's being so successful.
Again, an incredible response. So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. Now, Whit, I know you'll have a take on this, not only as somebody who had a great, great run as a professional athlete, but again, you're very motivational. You're very inspirational. You're obviously somebody who spent a lot of time thinking about how to be your very best version of yourself. There's this debate about whether or not you should double down on your strengths and always work on them and ignore your weaknesses, or do you put the time in and fix all those weaknesses? How do you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it maybe there's a situation where, you know, the strengths things, I could see maybe what you're talking about, but I don't see that, because I think if you really look at it, you know, if we can go through a plethora of athletes that really, you know, what they're special at, it's not just that they're special at something, it's that there's really what is the weakness, and continuously over time, those weaknesses start to go away and they start to not be as big a weakness. And so I think, to me, if I look at it as an offensive lineman, if I've got great feet, but I have no ability to anchor and I have no ability to stop somebody with my hands, I will never reach the potential that I could be as an offensive lineman. I started off in the league as somebody that was extremely strong, but I was stiff. I couldn't move as well. I was a big guy. That was always going to be a strength of mine. But over time in my career, when people go, man, how did you play 16 years? How did you play 17,000 plus snaps in the NFL? I'll tell you how. I constantly worked against what I was already good at. I knew I was strong. I knew I was big. I wanted to be mobile. I was constantly, I did yoga from the moment I started in the NFL And I still, to this day, was always stretching, always working on my mobility, always working on my speed, boxing, MMA, swimming, running, anything, biking, anything I could do to get my body moving and find a way to move better. I always felt like it like this. If my strength is a 99 and my weakness and whatever it is you say is bad as a 70, maybe that 70 will never get up to 90. But if it's at 80 and my strength's at 97, man, I'm pretty special. I'm pretty rare, because that strength, that rare ability will always be there. And you do have to always touch it and just tinker it. And like, hey, there's a little work you put into it. But that weakness, if you can bring those weaknesses, you can put some time and some effort into those. That's what sets you apart. And that's why I say Nick Saban, Sean McVay are rare. Because in my opinion, that's what they're special at. They are able to eliminate what are perceived to be weaknesses. They are constantly working on things that people would think, man, I'm not very good at that. Because you find me a really special player who you say, man, he's just struggling to ever reach his potential. I bet you he has a really hard time ever devoting the time to his weaknesses, because most of us never want to face them. If we've always struggled eating, we always struggle eating. If we've always struggled staying up late, we've always struggled staying up late. If we always struggled drinking, whatever it may be, we have a really hard time as people to ever face our weaknesses. And the people that are willing to do it, man, they set themselves apart.
Well, isn't that the truth? Of course you want to work on what you're good at. It's easy. Right? It's easy.
Yep.
If you do that thing first thing in the morning that you don't want to do and you develop that muscle and that habit, that's a great thing. And I would imagine, to your point, look, it's sports, right? What happens in sports? You look for mismatches, you attack the other person's weakness. So if they eliminate weaknesses, then they're going to be great. You know, Whit, I think it's really interesting what you said about you trained in MMA. Like, when I look at NFL players, you're a different breed now. You're a different breed. You know what you signed up for. You know what sacrifices are involved. And, you know, I would mess around. I trained a bit in MMA, and I'm not going to lie, Whit, I didn't like it at all. And the reason I didn't like it at all was I was not natural. I was not comfortable. There was nothing about it that I really liked other than what it could do for me. And even then, I still didn't like it very much. I'm really curious, as a guy who played in the NFL as long as you did, knowing MMA the way you do, if NFLers were a different breed, how would you describe those who get inside that cage and do what they do?
Oh man, a whole other version of lunatic. Let me tell you, I would say this. I used to tell guys all the time when I first started training them. I first started a studio up in northern Cincinnati, George Gergel's studio, and jiu-jitsu and some Muay Thai. And I always would say, look, we've all been in college, like college athletes. I'd tell guys I played with, hey man, we've all been in the 110s running 100-yard sprints in the summer. And, you know, you got 16 110s or gassers when you come back for the conditioning test for training camp. But I would always say, imagine being in the worst part of that gasser conditioning test or the worst part of those 110s. And instead of standing there gasping for air with your hands over your head, screaming obscenities at the strength coach because he won't stop the time or slow down or like let you get your breath back. Imagine being in that moment, except for now you're laying on your back and somebody's forearm is crushing your jaw into the mat while you're trying to find that gas and that energy and that breath. And an entire body weight is on top of you and you're trying to find that breath and gas. So to me, what I really learned from it from the very beginning, over time, it became a de-stressor for me and a mental thing. I just love to go do it and be violent and do those some of those things. But at first, it took me to a new level of conditioning and a new level that I never knew existed in my body. I never knew that that part of me was even there. And it opened up this new personality to me. And I always say it's one of those things that led me to playing as long as I did, because when you're 37, 38, 39, 40, playing NFL football with 22-year-olds, you know, you got to go to some mental places that you really can't ever go to unless you've touched them. And so that really put me in those spaces. I learned how to be calm and like almost laugh when I feel like I'm about to die, I'm so tired. And to be able to get to that place mentally where you almost welcomed it and smiled at it and enjoyed it, that was a space I never knew existed in me. And it was really cool to find it, because then 10 minutes later, I'd be in my car throwing up in a trash bag, you know, for trying to pretend like I'm okay. But it would take you to places where you were like, man, this is a whole new world. And so those guys, I have the utmost respect for not just that part, but obviously how tough you have to be to do that for a career, man. There's some bad dudes in that sport.
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Of course. This time, though, don't make a shake or eat a bar. Grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty and tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire, and it goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Hey, Whit, I'm having this podcast moment whereby you and I have done this a number of times. I've always appreciated you and our relationship. But you are, even at this point, becoming one of the world's more interesting people that I've spoken to in recent time. Like, I'm enjoying this so much. You know, when you talk about one of the things you liked about it, was the inherent violence in it. I understand all these other things that it did for you, but that kind of stuck out to me for a minute, the inherent violence involved. You're also a man of great, great faith. Was there ever at any point, or even now, any kind of conflict, or how did you reconcile the violence inherent in what you did with you being a man of great, great faith?
Yeah, I think that to me, there's a big difference, and I think it's funny, a lot of times just with people, we want everybody to be perfect and we want everybody to be exact and no one can have flaws and things that the imperfections. And I just think I've never lived that way. I think to me, when I talk about being a man of faith, you know, to me, it's about, I believe why I'm here, what my purpose is. And I know that purpose is not being perfect because I don't believe that anybody else is either. And it's about being there for people and loving people and supporting people and, you know what, trying to find my best so that I can help you be at your best. And sometimes that violence of that sport to me is about when I'm doing it, I'm thinking about, I'm still called as a father to protect my family. I'm still called as a husband to protect my wife, my kids, be the provider of my home. Like, I think sometimes in this new era of life and all the things we have that make life easy, whether it be our phones or our gadgets or our devices and all these things, to take all the things away from us that we have to be responsible for. We forget that at the end of the day, man, we're human beings. And just like animals, just like everything else, we protect our own. And for me, I feel better about who I am when I know I can protect my own. And I know that if something happened to my children or my wife, and if we had to go back to 200, 300 years ago, and I had to just stand there and protect my family, that I'm going to always be prepared for that moment. I don't believe in, hey, I react to bad things that happen. I react to, oh man, we're in times where we need to change. I believe that you're always building yourself, preparing yourself for whatever moments may be. At the same time that I'm training MMA and I'm worried about, I love the violence of hitting a bag and challenging myself, I'm reading books on how to be a better leader, how to ask better questions, how to develop myself as a person, how to understand how to forgive, how to like let things go that maybe somebody wronged me for. Like, I believe that you continuously work on who you need to be for tomorrow, today, and all those things are going to be okay. And that's the idea, is that I'm constantly working on every part of me, not the weaknesses and the strengths, everything. And I'm just curious and diving into what I can do to develop as a human being so that I'm ready for whatever it is that tomorrow brings. Not just the current state that I'm living in each day, but I'm ready for whatever tomorrow is.
Love that too. I'm really curious, who and what are you reading of late? What are a couple of books that you've read lately that really made a dramatic impact on you and the way you think?
Yeah, I think for me, like, I like to kind of challenge, I think of it as like in my mindset, I think like much how I'm talking about it, if anything, it's balance, right? So I love like all these different spectrums, right? So I want to say, like, it's funny. I'll tell you my top five on my Audible list right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So here we go. So right now I have The Fine Art of Small Talk. You're like, hey, what the heck does that mean? You know what? I thought it was interesting. I want to see what somebody had by Deborah Fine. So I got that on there. I got The Ultimate Guide to Developing Leaders by John C. Maxwell. I have The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter. It's about getting out of your comfort zones. I have Arnold Schwarzenegger's book, Be Useful, in my line right now. Then I have The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger. And I have right now, The Wealth Habits by Candy Valentino. So there you go. It's wealth. It's leadership. It's a little bit of biography about people. It's about how to be a better small talker and engaging people in conversations, how to develop yourself. I just like to kind of, I mean, I got a big library, but it's a lot of that stuff. And then I always love to mix in some version of learning about somebody. One of the tidbits of advice I got when I got done playing and I said I was going to start doing stuff with Thursday Night Football and media was to be curious and to just love to find out trivia about people, like just get to know people and learn their stories and where they came from and who they are. And so I try to do that every offseason, is just spend a couple times reading a couple books about people and get to know them.
Love it. Hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around, a product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't. Because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth. You suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth, and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code ROME. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. Before I let you go, Whit, you said something recently that I thought was really interesting, that when you played the game itself, you were not the biggest fan of the game itself, but then once you stopped playing the game, you became an enormous fan and couldn't wait for Sunday to Sunday. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think that sometimes living the life we live, and I think that's what's different for offensive linemen, and it's a tough world, like in the truth of it, Jim. I do believe that. I think that a lot of linemen struggle in general. D linemen maybe get a little more notoriety because of sacks and stuff like that, but as an offensive lineman, you got to imagine, I don't care if you play 16 years, you play three, I can guarantee you're beat up from the loads that you had to train with, from really the practices and the training camps of constant hitting and pounding and crushing you're doing of each other. You're not running routes catching football. You're banging into people every second of every practice. So there's a lot of just mental beatdown that comes from that. And so a lot of your confidence only comes from your team's success. So you can imagine if you didn't get to play on a team that's successful, you're kind of just every week is about survival. It's about, man, can I just make it through this week and do my job? And then if you play on a team that's successful, you enjoy the success, but you really don't get a lot of credit. I mean, we can go back and look at all the articles. There's not going to be a whole lot written about Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. There's going to be some moments where they mention it, but it's going to be about Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and you know, Chris Jones and all these guys and Andy Reid, you name it, right? So that's just the reality of the life you live as a lineman. So a lot of linemen, I think people would be interested to see, it's kind of, you go in their room, it's a struggle every week mentally to just get yourself up to, hey, man, I'm going to go lay myself on the line in front of the fire for everybody else, and I'm going to hope that it works out and we're successful. And then the nature of what you do, let's just call it what it is. You know, I've always shot you straight, Jim. I'm a lineman, right, in the off season. Do you think I'm the guy that's getting invited to go sit at the Lakers game? Heck no, I'm not getting invited to a Lakers game, right? If I want to go to a Lakers game, I'm buying my daggum tickets, right? Now, your stars of a team, they get to go to games and get invited, right? So that's the nature of your industry. You get into media, you get into whatever. The stars, naturally, those guys, they get the first lines of chances and opportunities, and the money's better and all. So kind of when you're a lineman life, my man, you got to be willing to just fight for every inch. And I always say it, you got to be willing to sing for your supper. And that's, I think, something that's always helped me is I've never had the attitude that I cared about any of that. I'll keep beating the walls down. And I think, like, you look at Jason Kelce, I think it's one of the coolest things that's happening right now. You got an offensive lineman who's a superstar. I mean, are you kidding me? That's the greatest thing that's ever happened because it's just opening the door for the next one. And so I think it's so awesome to see really where the offensive line of play has come and where it is now. And I think, you know, really the spotlight that got more guys getting involved in media, more guys getting their story talked about. Because when I got in the NFL in the early 2000s, you sat in a room as a rookie offensive lineman and they told you they'd fine you if you talked to the media. They told you they'd have a jar that you had to put money in if they read an article about you. Like you were trained. It was ingrained in you that you never spoke to the media, that you never made anything about yourself. And now to see where we are, I think it's so cool to see Taylor Lewan, Jason Kelce, Damian Woody. You know, you look at it, just the different guys. That, I mean, look at it. I mean, Jeff Saturday was on from going to ESPN to becoming a head coach for a little while, interim head coach. I mean, I just think it's so cool where we are, and I'm really excited about it. And I can't wait to see the growth of more people understanding how special the guys are that play that position.
Oh, Whit, I know this. I've done this long enough that I did this long before there was any social media, long before there was even the internet, long before there was any of this. I remember this very clearly. You could not get anywhere near an offensive lineman. Most offensive linemen didn't even want to talk anyway, but it was made very clear to your point that you just did not do that sort of thing. I can remember back in the day speaking to like Steve Wisniewski or Mark Schlereth when he still played. I'm like, these dudes are so interesting. They're so interesting. Why can't we talk to more of them? And they always were interesting because my feeling was it's a really technical position. You have to be really, really smart to play the offensive line. But you're right. Finally, guys now can tell their own stories and be their own guy. Whit, you are one of one, my guy. I did not mean – well, actually, I didn't mean to take that much time because this is where we stretch out. But you made it so easy. I appreciate you so much. I know your time is in demand. You didn't have to do that. That was really great. I appreciate that so much. Thank you for coming on the podcast, and thanks for stretching out and talking like that. That was so much fun.
Hey, I appreciate it, Jim. Always, man.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix, or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. You see what I mean? Who connects and hits like that dude? Who gets his point across better than that guy? And notice it's not just football. In fact, we actually didn't talk much ball at all. A conversation about life got in the way of our conversation about ball, and frankly, I could not be any happier that it did. Thanks to Andrew Whitworth for making the time and stretching out and being such a class act. You see, conversations like that one are what it's all about. And it's why I'm still doing this pod after 300 plus eps. These are the kinds of conversations that fire me up. This is why I'm not going to stop pumping out episodes anytime soon. So it would be a great time to consider subscribing if you don't mind. This way, every single time I drop a new chat, it will make its way right to you and you will never have to hunt it down. So if you will, find and smash that subscribe button for me, and I will catch you next week with episode 312 right here on the Jim Rohn Podcast.